The Columbia Workshop. Ladies and gentlemen, the Columbia Workshop presents this evening, as its 34th program in a series devoted to experimental radio, a dramatization of Keats' immortal poem, The Eve of St. Agnes, adapted for radio by Edward A. Byron.
St. Agnes Eve. Ah, bitter chill it was. The owl, for all his feathers, was a cold. The hare limped trembling through the frozen grass, and silent was the flock in woolly fold. Numb were the beadsman's fingers while he told his rosary, and while his frosted breath, like pious incense from a censer old, seemed taking flight for heaven without a death, past the sweet virgin's picture, while his prayer he said.
Plena Domini tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, benedictus fructus ventris tu, Jesu. Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. In nomine Patri, et Filio, et cum Spiritu tuo. And may God have mercy on my soul. The cold this night. Hearken to that wind. It thinks I'll seek the fire in the great hall before my prayers continue. Ah, me. Ah, to be old. Ah, old. What's this? What means this wondrous melody? And voices too, pitched high and laughing flattery.
This is no place for thee this night, old man.
Oh.
Young theme brooks not the penitent.
Angela, God's peace to you. Tell me, what is this?
The lords and ladies do feast in high splendor.
Oh.
St. Agnes Eve. And should you venture toward that merry throng, the dogs would have your cock. The night is sworn to laughter and to joy. So take thy beads and get thee gone.
'Tis truth you speak, old Angela. The joys of my life are fed and sung, and my lot is harsh penance on this St. Agnes Eve. I must forswear this riotous room of fun. Their lives are just beginning, and mine is nearly done. Farewell. And may I ask the favor of one heartfelt prayer from thee for me?
That I will.
Good. Farewell, Angela.
It's amazing how old age does sanctify a man. My mind goes back to days when he who lately closed that door would drink the whole night through and greet the dawn with cries for more. Ah, well, it's his worry and no care of mine. I must hasten to the side of Madeline, young and fair, who calls me nurse. Nurse, good Angela, said she just this afternoon.
Nurse, good Angela, knowest thou what day this is?
That I do, my child. Once the sun has set this day, 'twill be St. Agnes Eve.
I know, I know. I remember once you said that on this night, if I went supperless to bed, and looked not back nor sideways, I would have a vision of delight, and see my lover standing there in manly glory, radiant with light of love.
Aye, that is the legend of St. Agnes Eve, Madeline.
Then, tonight it is my wish to test your words. And Angela,
yes?
Heaven help you if you have not spoken
words of truth. By the token of these old gray hairs, I swear that tale was told to me just as you have heard it. Not a jot the more, not a whit the less.
Thanks be for that. Tonight, I mean to see the features of my fated lover. Him, I will endeavor to discover by the magic of your charm. There rings the vestas bell. Angela, comb my hair. Use every art the years have taught thee. I would not be disappointing to Ina Phantom's eyes this night.
That I will. May I make so bold to ask, milady?
If answer there be, you shall have it.
Do you retire in hope tonight?
In truth, yes. But 'tis a forlorn hope. Oh, it needs must be strong magic indeed to bring even his apparition for my sight.
Say no more. I know your secret.
What?
'Tis Porphyro. He whose race your family hates, you most desire to see.
Yes. Great is my love for him. Great and undying. Yet hopeless. My father's hate would slay his ghost if it walked these halls tonight. Oh, Angela.
There now. Even your father cannot kill a dream. Fear not. And work the charm aright, leaving the rest to the angels and St. Agnes.
I will.
Tis well. But look you, what gown will you wear?
I shall not dress to dine, since I must fast. Better to remain here and wait for dusk.
That you cannot do. Hast forgotten the feast tonight?
Oh.
All your family and their friends gather in the great hall for purposes of revelry.
But Angela...
You must attend.
I must.
Yes. Wear thy father's anger, child. He will not be crossed in it.
True. How true. Then I will go. But 'twill be a sorry feast for me, whose heart rests on other things.
No matter. Go. If only for a little while. Once the wattle makes a round, you can steal away unseen.
How?
I will aid.
Oh, thank thee, Angela. Come now, comb my hair.
Yes, I will.
Madeline.
Yes.
Madeline, what ails thee, child? You dance not, nor you join the rounds of song tonight. Your plated table was left untouched. 'Tis passing strange.
Forgive me, Father, if I seem not to grace this feast with cheerful mien and laughing eyes.
'Tis strange indeed. Your every speech endeth in a sigh. It is not meet comportment at your father's board. Art ill that you do languish so?
No.
Peaches can be had to ease the pain, if pain there be.
No pain have I. My head, my mind is full of other things tonight. That's all.
My guests crave my presence at the dance. Take heed and smile, my child. There must be no mournful faces in this room tonight.
Yes,
no mournful faces.
I will try.
Good, my child.
St. Agnes, I do implore, send me one fleeting vision of the face I do adore.
A pretty scene indeed. A father's head abuzz with wine. A daughter's heart awry with love. No wonder puzzlement doth shine like a questioning moon above. One thing certain, Madeline cannot steal away as yet. And I should not be found here staring at the pieces. I'll move these old bones of mine along and wait till graceful dancing gives way to drunken song. Ah, me. Well do I remember when I was queen of servants' hall and watched the grooms fight scullery boys for the favor of my kiss.
And you gave it to the bravest every time, I'll wager.
Eh? Who dares to make so free with an old hag's reverie?
Hush! Get thee behind this pillar and be surprised.
What? No, what?
Now, look me closely in the face.
Eh? Oh, Pharaoh.
Yes.
Oh, hide thee from this place.
Oh, no.
They are all here tonight, the whole bloodthirsty race. Get hence.
No.
Get hence.
No.
There's dwarfish Hildebrand. He had a fever late, and in the fit he cursed thee and thine both house and land.
A pox on Hildebrand.
Then, there's that old Lord Maurice, not a whit more tame for his gray hairs, alas, eh? Lit like a ghost away.
Oh, gossip, dear, we're safe enough. Here in this armchair sit, and tell me how.
Good saints, not here. Follow me, child. Or else these stones will be thy beer.
Then lead the way and scare me not with silly tales of toothless Hildebrand. A shame it is his fever fit abated before he died of it.
Ah, well-a-day. What next will a mad youth's heart conspire with folly to spur him into danger's fire?
Hush now, Angela. We are not strangers, that you should call me such a fool.
Wait till I make fast this door. There. We're safe at last, at least a while.
Then tell me, where is Madeline? Or tell me, Angela, by the holy loom of St. Agnes.
St. Agnes? Ah, yes. It is St. Agnes' Eve. Yet men will murder upon holy days. I speak the truth. It fills me with amaze to see thee, Porphyro. And Agnes Eve. God's help. The lady fair, the conjurer, plays this very night. Good angels, her deceived. But let me laugh a while. I've too much time to grieve.
Have all your senses left you daft? A while ago you cried.
Then
you laughed.
That I did. With good reason, too. Fair Madeline does intend to keep St. Agnes Eve in proper form. And in her sleep, she hopes to see the face of one you know.
Oh, speak plainer. Riddles puzzle me.
Well, then, his name is Porphyro.
What?
Yes, the scion of a madcap race who risked his life here in this place.
Angela, then you cannot say 'twas folly that led me here this day.
What meanst thou by that?
With your help and good St. Agnes' aid, I'll visit her chamber unafraid and make her dream come true.
What?
Yes.
A cruel man and impious thou art. I beg you, let her pray and sleep and dream alone with her good angels, far apart from wicked men like thee.
Oh, no.
Go. I deem thou canst not surely be the same that thou didst seem.
I will not harm her. By all the saints, I swear.
Never.
Oh, may I ne'er find grace when my weak voice shall whisper its last prayer. If one of her soft ringlets I displace, or look with ruffian passion in her face. Angela, believe me and forget your fears.
No.
Then I will, even in a moment's space, awake with horrid shout my foeman's ears and beard them to the very teeth.
Oh, why wilt thou affright a feeble soul? A poor, weak, palsy-stricken churchyard thing whose passing bell may ere the midnight toll.
Pardon, and I crave of thee. But this night, Madeline, I mean to see. The tumult of my raging heart will longer be not kept apart from her whom it desires.
Think now, lad. Think hard,
I have thought, and I'll do no wrong. To her whose nurse thou art, conduct me to her chamber now, and there hide me in a closet of such privacy where I can see her unespied, and win perhaps a peerless bride despite all opposition.
If I promise to do all this for thee, will you swear one thing to me?
What else is there for me to say that I've not already said and sworn to by my life?
No good will come of this, I know.
Oh, Angela.
And yet, rest ye here while I go make certain we will be unseen.
Oh, thank you, Angela.
For I am slow and feeble and scarce dare on such a mission. Trust my dizzy head.
Oh, hurry.
Wait here, my child, with patience. Kneel in prayer the while.
I will.
Good. Thou must needs a lady wed, or may I never leave my grave among the dead.
Angela?
Aye. It is safe almost to follow me. I'll lead you to her chamber now.
Good.
Tread soft. Tread soft.
I will.
We'll go along this gallery. Thy cloak about thy face.
It is drawn. Lead on. And stop the chatter of thy teeth.
Would I could. It is not my teeth. Your sword is clanking a requiem. Hold it closer.
Lead on. I'll hold the sword in case I need it. Lead on and waste not all this time.
Come. Come. Turn here. Stoop low. Now, up these stairs. Here's the door. Softly now. Porphyro, thou stand where many in their dreams have hoped with wild, nightmarish schemes to be. Here in liquid moonlight wine, you stand in the room of Madeline.
Yes, I stand in the midst of a dream come true. But hide me, Angela. Hide me from the view of her who soon comes here to rest.
There in the closet betake thyself. And remember all thou promised me. Oh,
thank thee, Angela. I well recall everything. Fear not. Thus it shall be.
Very well. Farewell. Farewell, Porthero. I leave thee to... St. Agnes. I must go. I'll wonder when midnight's bell doth ring, whether I've done a pure or sinful thing. Here she comes, and upward makes her way. St. Agnes, hear me. Keep her safe. Unharmed till break of day.
Out went the taper as she hurried in. Its little smoke in pallid moonshine died. She closed the door. She panted all akin to spirits of the air and visions wide. No uttered syllable or woe betide. Full on the casement shone the wintry moon, and threw warm gules on Madeline's fair breast, as down she knelt for heaven's grace and boon. Rose bloom fell on her hands together pressed,
and on her silver cross, soft amethyst, and on her hair, a glory like a saint. She seemed a splendid angel, newly dressed, save wings for heaven. Porphyro grew faint. She knelt so pure a thing, so free from mortal taint. Soon, trembling in her soft and chilly nest, in sort of wakeful swoon, perplexed she lay, until the poppied warmth of sleep oppressed her soothed limbs, and soul fatigued away.
My love, awake. Open thine eyes for meek St. Agnes' sake, or I shall die beside thee, for so my soul doth ache.
Oh, Porphyro. But even now thy voice with its sweet tremble in mine ear, made tunable with every sweetest vow.
Madeline.
How changed thou art. How pallid, chill, and drear. Give me that voice again, my Porphyro. Those looks immortal. Those complainings, dear. Oh, leave me not in this eternal woe. For if thou diest, my love, I know not where to go.
Madeline. Madeline.
Oh.
Beloved, awake. This is no dream, my bride, my Madeline. 'Tis dark. The iced gusts still rave and beat.
No dream. Alas, alas, woe is mine. You will leave me here to fade and pine?
Oh.
Cruel, what traitor could thee hither bring?
Madeline.
I curse not, for my heart is lost in thine, though thou forsakest me.
My Madeline, sweet dreamer, lovely bride, say I may be for aye thy vassal blessed. Though I have found, I will not rob thy nest, saving of thy sweet self, if thou thinkest well to trust, fair Madeline, to no rude infidel.
I do. I do.
Hark, 'tis an elfin storm from fairyland, of haggard seeming, but a boon indeed. Arise, arise, the morning is at hand. The bloated wassailers will never heed. Oh, let us away, my love, with happy speed. There are no ears to hear or eyes to see, drowned all in Rhenish in the sleepy mead. Awake, arise, my love, and fearless be. For all the southern moors, I have a home for thee.
Oh, sweet Prothero, this is no dream.
No dream, indeed. mayhap grim reality in form of kinsmen, comes to put an end to all.
Then wait a moment. Just a moment more. And I'll be ready and eager to fly with thee. Now, soft. The stairs are here. Take care. No noise rings out too clear.
Quickly, quickly, let us go. What way, my love?
Across this hall. Don't even breathe. The men you see are sleeping with their swords in sheath. There lies the porter. Hush, Balder, down. Hear the door. Undo the chain.
Madeline, Madeline, come, my sweet. A horse is waiting with winged feet to carry us both away from here, far to the south from wind and snow.
With thee, my love, my Porphyro.
And they are gone, aye, ages long ago, these lovers fled away into the storm. That night the Baron dreamed of many a woe, and all his warrior guests, with shade and form of witch and demon and large coffin worm, were long benightmared. Angela the old died palsy-twitched, with meager face deformed. The beadsman, after a thousand aves told, for I unsought for, slept among his ashes cold.
The Columbia Workshop has presented a dramatization of Keats' immortal poem, The Eve of St. Agnes. It was adapted for radio and directed by Edward A. Byron, guest director for the workshop. David Ross acted as narrator, and the following were the featured players. Arlene Francis as Madeline, Brandon Peters as Porphyro, Florence Malone as Angela, Edgar Staley, the beadsman, and Harrison Brockbank, the father. The workshop has an announcement of great importance. On Sunday, April 11th, 2 weeks from today, it will present the first performance of Archibald MacLeish's poetic drama, The Fall of the City. Mr. MacLeish, winner of the Pulitzer Prize for poetry and one of America's major poets, has written The Fall of the City especially for radio. This performance will be directed by Irving Reese. The workshop believes that its listeners will be interested in hearing this play, not alone because of its poetic beauty, but because it marks a milestone in radio history, since it is the first play of its kind in this country written especially for this medium by a writer of high literary standing. The Fall of the City will be presented Sunday, April 11th, at this time. The workshop always welcomes your comments, suggestions, and criticisms. They help a great deal in enabling us to select future presentations. Write to the Columbia Workshop, Columbia Broadcasting Company, New York City. Tune in next week for another in the workshop series of experimental radio dramas. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.